Don't forget that if you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have an anointed heritage in your life. The same Spirit that dwelleth in you is one that moved on the face of the deep in Genesis 1 and 1. Think about that. This is when Jesus said, greater things than you can do than these. That's the church position. I marvel at the fact that through his signs, miracles, and wonders that God has done in this congregation, in fact, as it is noised abroad what God has done, I appreciate what Sister Stephanie was in her testimony this morning as well. People hear that. They hear that. I read in the scriptures it says that when the people heard that or they saw that, they came to Jesus. Miracles have a place in the kingdom of God. Signs and wonders have a place in the kingdom of God. Tongues is not only evidence of what God has filled you with his Spirit. Also, it is a sign to the unbelievers. Amen? I'm glad I'm a part of a Spirit-filled church. I'm thrilled to be a part of a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled congregation. Amen? Power of the Holy Ghost flowing and moving in our lives. Amen. After at the end of the service, we're going to be serving communion. And we pray that you will stay for that. Start out the year, first Sunday in the year. And we are remembering Christ's death until he returns. It could be soon in 2018. It could be later on. Who knows? But by taking communion, it's recommitting ourselves and showing our faith in God and our trust in him till he returns back to take a church out of this world. Amen. And at the end of the service, the message and so forth, we'll give you instructions of how we're going to receive that communion. But it is very important in your Christian walk with God that you take the Lord's Supper. Amen? Very important. Why is it important, Pastor? Because you show that you are part of him. Amen? Somebody says, I don't know. I don't know if I'm worthy or not. Well, we'll get into that later on. But the point being here again, none of us are worthy. We are sinners saved by the grace of God, and that not of ourselves. Nothing that we could do. It's simply by the grace of God that he brought us to a marvelous truth and gave a revelation into our heart and our spirit to know the Godhead and to know the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's a marvelous revelation. I remember when I received a revelation, it was like flipping a switch on a light. It just, boom, it came, it just there. Wow. What an awesome revelation it was. The mighty God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm asking God, Lord, what would you have me to minister this morning? And what would I say the first Sunday in this new year of 2018? And I felt the drawing of God's Spirit of how important it is that we stay connected to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it is vital that we stay so connected to him that nothing of this world can ever separate us from the love of God. It's not the time to pull away. It's not the time to allow the world to involve you with things that's going to keep you so befuddled or so depressed or so down in your life. Jesus Christ has come to bring us life, and that more abundantly. More abundantly than you ever had before in your life. I can tell you there's a lot of things that can make you happy. But there's only one thing that can ever satisfy your soul. And that is the presence and the anointing of God that lives inside of you. A living God that lives inside of you. Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? His place of housing, his place of residency, his place of living inside of your life. Jesus said this oftentimes. It's not me that's doing this, but my Father that is in me, He's doing this. This is why the church, this is why you individually can have an effect upon people that are around you in the community that you live in, because you know that's not you doing this, but it is God living in you, and the flow of that power and anointing flowing from you into some hungry heart and some hungry soul and some hungry life. That's possible because of the connection that you have with Jesus Christ. Amen. There's few things in the world that can make you happy. One can make me really happy. Of course, God is first. God's number one. Number two is a real dense, thick, heavy chocolate cake. And the first Sunday of the 2018 year, Brother Eric came into the office bearing a plate that had three pieces. One for me, one for me, and one for me. That You couldn't start out the year any better than that. I mean, it really is. Now, he didn't bake it. It was Amy that did the baking of that cake. But isn't it happy when you got people come bring you good things and good news? Good hope? Absolutely it is. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Of the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. I'm looking that God will add into the church daily. And the reason why I have that faith is because of this congregation that knows how to sow the seed of hope into people's lives. Amen? So thankful for all of those that's able to tune in on our Wednesday night service, and also on Sunday morning. We welcome you live streaming, and we pray that where you're sitting and there, you could feel the anointed presence of God move into that room where you're at. And it'll bless you and bless your heart and your soul and your life. Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, becomes the paramount message for 2018. I believe because of the darkness that's moving in on the world, and it seemingly Christianity is being pressured. Seems like that if you are a Christian, you become maybe in the minority. But on the other hand, I believe that is the best place for the church. Why would that be? Is because when the church becomes under pressure, the greater God can work. The more you become under pressure in your personal life, the greater is the evidence of God in your life by what He does and performs. Not only on your life, but through your life. The effectiveness of being a child of God. Now, for that to hold true and to be in the place where that we are useful to God, Jesus was teaching a lesson. It's a lesson that we need to hold on to in this beginning of 2018. And as long as the Lord tarries in His coming, it will keep you and hold you true and faithful to Him. Regardless of what situations in the world may come and how dark may be the night, there is a source of power and strength that will flow into your life, and consequently you can bear fruit from that's going to affect other people's lives as well. Jesus often used everyday examples in his teachings. And this morning we're going to study this one that is part of the I Am teachings that Jesus had given to the disciples. Jesus' sayings, John records them, and we have the privilege of this morning using the imagery of a vine. We have to understand this, that as we're studying this, John 15, that there is a vine dresser involved here with the vine. Jesus Christ is the true vine, but then he says, and we'll read it eventually here, how that his Father is the vine dresser. Every branch, he says, that's in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. He begins to say these things and teach these things to the disciples. Let me pick up with you on verse number 3 and read down a few verses. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He says to abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I cannot be productive, you cannot be productive, the body of Christ cannot be productive unless you abide in Jesus Christ. And that does not mean one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. That means all the way in. You cannot be a double-minded person. You cannot be one who thinks about the world three quarters of the time and one quarter about God and his kingdom. It's about being all the way in. It's all connected to the vine. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He clarifies the position that we hold and what he holds. It is the vine that has connected to the root, which has the substance which flows from it. And unless that we are really connected to the vine, I've seen vines that have branches on it, and the branches may have been broken. The branch may be connected to the vine, but it's not really connected, just kind of hanging on. In 2018, you cannot afford just to be hanging on to the vine. Somewhere you'll have to allow God to repair the branch and reconnect your relationship with the vine. Let me read this again, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. How much fruit are we to bear? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Let me tell you what, when Jesus Christ returns back to this earth, I want to make sure I'm fully connected to the vine. I don't want to have a semblance of being connected to the vine, but actually broken from the vine. Just kind of hanging on. There's no reason why, as a child of God, that we should just be verily hanging on to Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, my Bible tells me, and I know it's true, that God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Anybody believe that this morning? Amen. The key is that His Word abides in us. It is becoming an avid reader of the Word of God. Not simply going through reading your Bible. And I've said this to people many, many times, and it's so important. It's not that you've read your Bible through so many times. Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand the connection of the legacy that flows from one to another and on down through the line? It was so important that in Matthew, at the birth of Jesus Christ, at the announcement to Mary and Joseph, something wonderful is going to happen, it gives the lineage that is involved there. It's so important we understand where you come from, being born as a child of God, being born someone that God has forgiven your sins and brought you into the body of Christ, filled you with His Spirit, made you the relationship of His very image to do a work in this world that you live in. You see, your legacy is more than just grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. Your legacy goes far back to the very beginning of things. And He who has done a good work in your life, whenever that happened, whether it was 10 years ago or 50 years ago, or 100 years ago, or it was just yesterday that you was connected to the vine, He that began a good work in you is going to see you and help you to finish the work that He has designed for your life in the kingdom of God. That's where the church is. The church is not simply a building. It's not we come and just shout on Sunday morning and come out of work on Wednesday night and hear the word taught. It's more than that. It is the infusion of God flowing through us and identity of who you have and what your lineage is and what your legacy is. You see, you've got the same power that Peter had in him. You've got the same spirit the Apostle Paul had in him. You've got the same power that the apostles had in their lives. You are the possessor of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is righteous and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the legacy of all that there is in the kingdom of God. How powerful that is. How tremendous that is. Verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." God's interested in us bearing fruit. Amen. Verse 9 says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in His love. These things I have spoken to you." And the reason why He wants this to happen is that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You cannot have the joy of the Holy Ghost unless you're fully connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Got to be connected to the vine. Why? Because if you don't, you'll keep walking around sad. "I've got the joy of the Holy Ghost, but I don't know, I just don't feel it today. Man, life is tough and I just ran into a brick wall." You can count on me, Pastor, I'll be there. I may have to drag myself, but I'll be there. "I've got the joy of the Holy Ghost down in my soul. I'm connected to the vine." Come on. I'm connected to the vine. When you're connected to the vine, there's something that flows through you. You know what it is? You don't have your own mind anymore. You can have the mind of Christ. Oh, yeah. Come on now. I'm getting ready to preach. in case I hadn't been preaching up until this point. You see, you can't walk connected to the vine and have your own mind. Your own mind means myself. And you can't worship at the altar of self. You have to worship at the altar of the one who is the vine. We come to that place in our life is that, well, listen, I've got my own idea. I've got my own concept. I got it my way or whatever you have to accept me like. You see, God don't have to accept you. God doesn't have to accept me. You see, there's a lot of wild grapevines growing in the woods. Let me say that again in case you didn't get it. There is a lot of wild grapevines growing in the woods. And they may produce some grapes, but they're not the kind of grapes that's going to produce good fruit. They're going to be bitter, possibly even poisonous. I want the true vine. I want to be in the true vine. So give me some example, Pastor. Let me give you one good example. Israel got their own mind. Israel said, we're going to do it our way. We're going to worship what we do and what we think and so on and so forth. Guess what happened? They were broken off from the vine. It wasn't just by mistake that Jesus gave the parable of the wedding supper and sent out and said, go find people and bring them in here. Why? Because those that was invited wouldn't show up. They had so many other things going on, so many things happen in your life. One of the tricks of the devil, let me tell you this morning, is to get you so involved with the things of life, L-I-F-E. So many things involved with the world. So many things that's other than be connected to the flow of the Spirit of God. And all the way through here, we find that people came from outside. You see, God doesn't look at the fact of where you came from or your background. You see, you were Gentiles. I was a Gentile. I was not born a Jew. I was not born in a Jewish traditional home. Neither was you. You know what happened to us? That we, all of us was grafted in to the vine. Had no reason to be there. But you see, nobody else wanted to come. And because you responded to the pull of the Spirit of God, He brought you in and said, I'm going to graft you in to the flow of my Spirit. I'm going to graft you in to the will of my Spirit. I'm going to graft you in to be the fruit that nobody else would become. It's not the day of the hour to be attached to a wild thing out there in this world. You need to be connected to the true vine. The vine is the picture of the exclusive source of life. It's how the branches and the fruit obtain nourishment. And I appreciate so much those that can make it to this past or last night or yesterday afternoon's prayer meeting, corporate prayer meeting. And so thankful for those that was able to come. Many are sick in the church, realizing the body locally here. But I'm so thrilled because when we knelt down and prayed last night and at 5 o'clock or 5 after 5 when we got started, there was an instant move in the flow of the Spirit of God that filled this building inside of here. You felt it. I felt it. There was people who were praising and worshiping God, speaking in other languages. It wasn't something you had to build up to. There was something flowing in that service. It doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a big bunch of branches. But long as something is flowing through the branches that's connected to the vine, there is a power and anointing of the Spirit of God. And it bears forth the fruit of joy, unspeakableness, and full of glory. And he says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. When you look at this, the first figure is Jesus himself, who was the true vine. In the Old Testament, Israel was referred to as the vine of the vineyard of God. Israel was referred to as the vine of the vineyard of God. But it had come under God's judgment for its disobedience and sin and failure to produce good fruit. Here in this context, Jesus proclaims that he is the true, faithful, fruitful vine. Jesus comes to fulfill the temple and the ceremonial rituals, to fulfill the revelation of God as the very center of God's people. Jesus comes to rejoice the degenerate vine of Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 21. It says this, "Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" I don't care how long you've been walking with God. Do not let your experience with God be turned into a degenerate alien vine. The vine is the picture of exclusive source of life. On the basis of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, on the basis of sending the Holy Ghost, he said, "I've come to bring you life." And we like to quote that scripture, "Come to bring you life and that more abundantly." You never had abundant life until Jesus began to flow into your life. The true life, the true power, the true anointing of Spirit of God. You never really had that until you became repentant of your sins and transgressions. And God filled you with His Spirit, the flow of the Spirit of God. Jesus here talks about the vine dresser. The vine dresser who is God the Father. The Father is the planter and the cultivator of the vine. And always being close to the Son, the Lord Jesus, the two being connected. And the job here is intricately to prune the vine. God cares for you so much. He cares for me so much that there's times in my life He has to prune me back. He has to cut away at my life. My dad's hobby was to take plants and create hybrids. My dad had an apple tree that had five different varieties of apples growing on one tree. I'd see him take a sprig of a young apple tree plant and take his knife and begin to cut away and splice it. And then on the tree itself, the main tree, he began to cut away there at a branch and then put these two together. One that he was splicing into the main tree, and he had wrapped that up and wrap it up, and he would watch over it and nourish it and take care of it until it finally take root. Listen, let me tell you something this morning. You and me have got to take root and connect ourselves to Jesus Christ. He calls us, but it's our responsibility to connect to Him. He'll wrap us and He'll take care of us and watch over us and baby us and coax us. And And you determine, I determine whether we're going to get attached to him. It's not whether you believe a doctrine or not. It's what flows from him to you. It's not whether you think it's right or it's wrong. It's what flows from him. Come on, somebody. Come on. There's a lot of doctrines in this world. There's a lot of people that have attached to wild grapevines out here in this woods of the world. But when you come attached to Jesus Christ, the branches are necessary in order for the vine to be productive. In order for the kingdom of God in 2018 to be productive, he's got to flow through you because you are the body of Christ. You are the branches. And the vine of itself is not producing the actual fruit. It is what flows in the vine that flows to the branches that produces the fruit. And so your job is to produce fruit. My job is to produce fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit that may hang over the walls or the confines of your place of employment or work or family. And the world says we're going to box you in. We're going to close the church down. We're going to close the church in. I've got news for the devil and for the world. The branches that are connected to the vine will grow so much, so big, it'll hang over the walls and hang over darkness, hang over impossibilities, and the fruit will hang there for anybody to come along and pick the fruits. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The fruit of love, the fruit of kindness. Come on, somebody. It's that bearing the fruit. You're connected to the vine. For he's come to bring you life, and that life more abundantly. Jesus does not give a complex picture. The only other part of the picture is the fruit. And that's the main part of the allegory that Jesus is giving in this lesson. Purpose of the God-glorifying true vine, which is to bring God-glorifying spiritual life, which will naturally bear spiritual fruit. You see, church, you and I have got to live a spiritual, fruitful life. Everybody ever go by a fruit tree? I'm going to pick on an apple again. Go on the, and see, as it seems to be past the season, and there are apples that's hanging on the branches that's dried up or in the process of drying up. Have you ever gone by a fruit tree? Let's pick on the apple again and see apples that's fallen off of the branches, lying on the ground. Ever seen that? I do not want to be attached as a branch to the vine and I have fruit that's wrinkly, void of the substance of moisture. The church is never out of season. The church doesn't go through seasons in the fact of bearing fruit and then they just dry up. He's come to bring you life and that life more abundantly. There's no season upon it. It is that fruit that flows and the moisture and the spirit that flows from the vine, from the branch to the branch, from the vine to the branches. It's joy unspeakable. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because there's something flowing. Come on. Something flowing. We can say the denominational world, well, they have dead church. You know why? You know why? Because almost 100 years ago, if not more, or even later, God visited a lot of these denominational churches. There was a period called the Great Awakening that swept America. And because of society, because of men, it's like Israel, they turned away from God. Turned away from the source that was flowing through them and the blessings that was coming their way. My seat, your seat is not secure in the body of Christ. Don't forget that. We're only useful to God as long as we are attached securely to the vine. And what flows from Him flows to us. And we produce the fruit. My dad would cut back that apple tree, or he'd cut back the grape vineyard. We had a grape vineyard. And you would think, it's not going to survive. He would cut that grape vineyard back to almost look like stubs. Dad, what are you doing? You're going to kill the grape vineyard. Because it was just a lot of fun that he had poles stuck up and wire stretched across the poles, and the vines would weave their way in and out of the vines, and you could, when the fruit came, it was just awesome to walk under that grape harbor and pick clusters of grapes. Dad, you're going to kill the tree. No, son. It will help it to produce more and better fruit. It would take a little while for it to spring back. But when it sprang back, here on that tree was 5 different varieties of apples. And you can go pick a Golden Delicious. Or you can go pick a Jonathan. You could walk under the grapevines as my dad being the vine dresser. And what looked so broken and so cut apart, as the little branches and the sprouts begin to stick out from what seemed to be so cut down. And I'd watch him. He would take those tender vines and he'd weave it through the wire. Come back a few days later as it grew a little more, and then reweave it through the harbor. I know some of you have gone through some terrible times, faced some difficult moments. Some of you are not where you need to be in God in your relationship. And it seems like God has pruned you back. I'm asking you to give God an opportunity and stay connected to the vine. In a little while, the vine dresser will begin to take the new sprouts from your life and begin to intricately weave it and place it in the right place where it's going to bear much fruit. Much fruit. And 2018, for the church, it's a fruit-bearing year. And people that you work with and your family that you... co-workers that you work with is going to come along and pick some of that fruit. Somebody's going to need some compassion, some forgiveness, some love. And that what you have stayed connected to and flowing through your life and the Father, the vine dresser, stands back and says, this is my vineyard, and the fruit brings me joy. Anybody here want to bring Jesus Christ joy in your life? Anybody want to endure the pruning sometimes? The cutting back? I'll tell you, if you endure it, you will bear much fruit. And the joy of the Father will be great. And the joy of your life will be great. And the love that is in your life will be shed abroad in the whole body of Christ. Amen. Don't be hanging there like a little broken vine or a broken branch. Say, oh God, would you repair the branch? Would you just kind of reconnect me back there? Because I miss the flow. 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 Flow through me. Flow, Holy Ghost. Flow, Spirit of God. Flow through me. Flow through me. Put life back into my heart, my spirit, my mind. I believe we're going to see an increase of people coming back to God. To be attached to anything out in that world will bring you bitter grapes. Will bring you bitter grapes. Attached to Jesus Christ, give me a sweet, sweet presence of God in your life. Amen. If you have never been connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, only one way for that to be happened, and that is be grafted in. Pastor, how am I grafted in? You must be born of water and of spirit. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the promise of the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life. He's the true vine. And you can be grafted into that and have the love and the Spirit of God flowing through you and become a very productive Christian child of God. And if you've never have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, I encourage you to consider that and be obedient. People say, well, we're not saved by works. True.
But what Peter said on the day of Pentecost was a command. He commanded them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God. So we be more than happy to see that you're grafted into the body of Christ, brought into the vine. Amen. Tremendous. Amen.